You'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. We have been going somewhat through the book of Matthew. And we're going to continue our study in Matthew chapter 10. We may be a little bit diverting from Matthew chapter 10, but this morning I want to talk to you about a very important subject. What is the value of your soul? What is the value of your soul? As we see in Matthew chapter 10, there's so many things in life that really tell the truth about how much you value your soul. As we read this morning, that in the creation of man, that God says something very significant about the creation of man. And it says, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I doubt that you can find biologically the soul. Because the soul is talking about the immaterial part of man, and the part of man that makes you a real human being, created in the image of God. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about our soul. And life has a lot to say about our soul. And as we think of that subject, we are reminded of some important verses in the Bible. We are reminded that it is your soul that will live on forever and ever and ever. In Revelation chapter 6, we read about some people who realized that there was something more important than physical life. And the Bible tells us about that in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar," this is in heaven, "the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." These were a group of people in heaven who made a choice about life, that the word of God and the truth about Jesus Christ was more important than their life. And here we see them living forever and ever before God in heaven. Your soul. How important is your soul to you? The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, it tells us about our soul and really the battle for our soul, that really life is about the battle for your soul. In Mark chapter 8, it says in verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now you think about that verse, you think about, it says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? The fact is that many people are trying to gain the world, and in the process they're losing their soul. because they are going after something that's not important. They're going after something that does not last. They're going after something that is elusive, and they're trading it off for their soul. Very sad commentary in, about life. In Luke chapter 12, we read about a farmer. A farmer who didn't think about his soul. His soul was not valuable to him. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them. This is Jesus speaking. The ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. In other words, his crops. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say, and God says, I will say to my soul, he says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here was a man who thought that he was fine with all the blessings of material gain. And yet God said, thou fool. To pursue after that which is temporal and exchange it for neglect of your eternal soul. Isn't that what life is so much about in America? Neglect of the soul. As we think about that, we think of a man. Well, let's who didn't think much about his soul, and he was a believer. He was a child of God, 2 Peter chapter 2. Even for Christians, they can have a wrong view of life and compromise their soul for something that is very bad. The Bible tells us about Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says about, in the context, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And of course, in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 7, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Here is a man who chose to go to the prosperous city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and chose to put that to prosperity, that material gain, in front of the care of his soul. And so as a believer, what did he do? He endured seeing and hearing all the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does the Bible say happened? He vexed his righteous soul. In other words, he wore it down. He wore its moral values down. He wore its sense of right and wrong down. He wore its repulsiveness at sin down. He vexed his righteous soul. Why would a person do that to their soul? Why? Because there was something more important than a soul. And believers can come to a place in their life where there's something that's more important than their soul. And their soul standing before God. And Lot was an example of a person who put their soul in front of God. And sacrificed the eternal on the altar of the present. Now if you turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 42, he's giving a very stark picture here of what's important in life. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe on me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And of course, here's a picture of the person who thinks that the pleasures of sin are far more important than their eternal soul. And the Lord makes a figure of speech for those who would think that their sin, you know, you think of the hand, you know, we call it the five-finger discount. You know, it says, it talks about the eye. And there's many who will sell their soul for the lusts of their eyes. And, of course, it talks about the feet. And there are many whose feet are swift to shed blood. And he's saying that there are many who choose to pursue the life of sin and in the process forsake their own soul. The question is in life is how much do you value your soul? How much do you value your soul? That's the issue of life. How much do you value your soul? And many of the issues of life are centered around this one principle. How much do you value your soul? We are studying in Matthew chapter 10. And it's a very interesting passage of scripture. Where Jesus is descending the disciples to preach to the Jewish people. And we're going to look at this passage a little bit, and we're going to talk about this principle about how much do you value your soul, and we can see how that affects so much of life. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there's some interesting truths. And we want to spend a little bit of time talking about some of them. In Matthew chapter 10, he's sending the disciples out to preach to the Israelites. And in Matthew chapter 10, it says, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Then he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stave, for the workman is worthy of his hire. And into what city or town ye shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Now, it's very interesting as you look at this passage of Scripture, this whole chapter, that phrase worthy is number of times. A number of times. Now, is that kind of interesting? It says, now, don't take any money with you. Don't take any money when you go preaching. Now, put it in this context, okay? It's very significant that you keep this in its context. It's to the people of Israel, okay? It's not talking about going on the mission field, okay? You take the two contexts, you can make two different things out of this. But he says, don't take any money. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take any of these things. Why? He says, when you come, find who is worthy. Now, what is he talking about? Find who is worthy. You know what he's saying? I'll put it in a different sense. Find out people who care about their soul. Find the people in that city who consider the spiritual far more important than the physical. Find out who is worthy. You know what? You cannot buy food for your soul. You cannot buy food for your soul. You know, think of it in a practical way. You cannot buy a clear conscience. You cannot pay all the money in the world to get rid of guilt of sin. Some people spend all their money to find someone that will try to help them get rid of their guilt, but they'll never really be able to do it. You know, here's a great principle. We probably never think of it that way, do we? He says, go to the city and find out people in that city who value their soul more than their money. Or find out people who understand the real value of spiritual things. And when you come to their city, what are they going to do? You won't need any gold because he'll take care of your food. They'll take care of your housing. They'll take care of whatever needs you have. Because to them, the message that you are bringing and the truth of God's word could never be bought, and it's far more valuable than money. Find out who is worthy. Quite a statement, quite a phrase, isn't it? Find out the people there that understand that their soul is more important than anything else. As you think about this, there's obviously many different instructions in this passage of Scripture. But let's go on a little bit further in this passage of Scripture. It says, verse 23, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple," I'm at verse 25, "that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his own household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, it brings a very important point up. You know what you think about your soul, or how you value your soul is known by what you fear. By what you fear. By what you fear. He said, don't fear those who only have a temporary physical influence on you. Don't fear those who only have a temporary physical influence on you. Fear the one who has a spiritual and eternal influence on you. By what you fear. Isn't it sad that in this context, how many people choose to reject Jesus Christ because they're afraid of what Uncle Johnny will say, or Aunt Dolly. They base their whole life on fear of what some of the physical. In this case, you know what? It's more than that. In this case, in the setting of the New Testament, it truly was the fear of the physical. Because first three centuries of Christianity were characterized by seven major persecutions in which millions of believers lost their life for Jesus Christ. It was very real. The Lord Jesus Christ himself lost his life for his message, didn't he? And he said, the servant is not greater than the master. And you know, it's very real. It's very real to witness to a precious, wonderful Muslim lady, knowing that if she would get saved, her husband would feel obligated to kill her. That's very real. It's very real, isn't it? I remember a young man right in this church many years ago. And I said to this young man, I said, why won't you surrender your life to the Lord? Why won't you obey Him? I don't know the real answer. I don't know if the real issue was that he wasn't really saved. That might have been it. Okay. But Twenty years later, I asked him the same question. I said, why wouldn't you just do right? He said, it was because of my friends. And I said to him, now 20 years later, how many of those friends are still in your life? Important part of your life? He said, none. Oh, so you gave up eternity for a couple of years of friendship. Wow. You know, how much you value your soul is known by what you fear. If you fear is based on merely the physical, it's because you have lost sight of the eternal. As we think almost a contrast to that, we see a very significant contrast in verse 29. He says this, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore should confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now, as you think about this whole context, he's telling his disciples this. He's commissioning them to go and to preach and telling them what's going to happen and et cetera, the situations that. And so we don't want to put it out of context. We want to put it in context. What is the context? He says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, you know, for all of us, God knows how many hairs we have on our head. Some fewer than others. Okay? But don't worry about that, because if you're going bald, expensive things come with marble tops. Okay. But who was this promise given to? It was a promise, a statement given to the disciples who are going to face persecution, who are going to face danger, who are going to be rejected, who are going to be cast into prison, who are going to be killed. What is he saying? He's saying, you know, people that give their lives for souls are precious before God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The disciples. Now, these are the people he said your hairs are all numbered. Now, he knows the number of all our hairs. But what's he saying? So you're going in danger. You're giving your life to spread the word of God. But I want you to know something. You're very special before God. You're the hairs of your, if he knows the hairs of your head and how many came out when you combed your hair, I tell you what, he's watching over everything you do. Amen. But we see a little value system here. That's what I'm trying to get here. A value system. Okay, what's important to God? What's important to God? What should be important to us? In this context, he says, you know, the people who value souls and whose lives are about giving the message to souls, that's valuable. That's a pleasing to God. Now, let's go on and look at some other things here. It says, verse 38, he says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's quite amazing statement, isn't it? What's the most important thing concerning your soul that ever has taken place? Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to rescue our soul from hell. To pay the penalty for our sin. You know, the person that values their soul values the cross. And how much you value the cross obviously is a reflection of how much you value your soul. And the person who is not willing to bear his cross certainly doesn't have very high value of that cross, do they? The person who's not willing to bear the cross for Christ certainly doesn't have a very high value of the cross, certainly does not have a very high value of their soul. So that person's not worthy of me. What does it mean to bear our cross? What does it mean to bear the cross? Well, obviously, the cross identifies us with Christ. The cross identifies us with the gospel. How you are saved, not by works, not by religion, not by religious deeds, but by faith and faith alone in the finished work of Christ. That's not a popular message. You know that? The cross, the most despicable death, shameful death. You think of Jewish people. Godly Jewish people were very modest. Our Savior died with very little clothing left. Shame. Shameful death. The people said, "Away with him! Crucify him!" A very rejection of the people that he came to save. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to be rejected by people. The people you love. People that you want to see saved. You'll be mocked. You'll be considered foolish. Didn't it seem foolish to the world that the Savior would die? He could have called 10,000 angels, couldn't he? But you know, that's the price today, isn't it? That's the price of being a Christian. The price of doing what's right. The price of living a righteous life. The price of putting God first. The price of recognizing eternity is more important than the temporary. You know, the Bible says it's all about what is valuable to you. What is valuable to you is your soul. Valuable to you. We live in a day in which soul is not very important. You know, how do you know if a person is interested in their soul? Well, we see in this passage of Scripture that everyday events of life tell us that or reveal if your soul is valuable to you. Everyday events of life tell us whether your soul is valuable to you or not. What everyday events of life show us if your soul is valuable to you? Well, we find pretty simple here what they did with the Word of God. You know, what will people do today, or what will people not do, or what effort will they make today to hear the Word of God? We were just talking the other day about George Whitefield. And you know, George Whitefield was in America 1730s, 1740s. And you know, George Whitefield, when he came to preach, there would be crowds of 10, 15, 20,000 people to hear him preach. And this was in colonial America. This would be a huge amount of the people. They say Christmas Evans in Wales in the 1700s, that he at times would preach to crowds of 30,000 people to hear the Bible preached. Today, what value do people put on hearing the Bible? How many people are flocking to hear the Bible preached? Well, it's a testament of how valuable people consider their souls to be. You know, what do you think is important? This gets kind of down to earth, but you know, some people would give their last dime to stay alive. I'm sure that when you go to the doctor, you might even expect to pay a lot of money. But I remember when we came back to Wisconsin to start a church, a wealthy farmer friend of mine said to me, "Ron, I don't think we should be starting new churches. I think we ought to take all the churches we got and put them all together. And then everybody would only have to give $1 a week." Quite a contrast, right? What we do tells us how much we value our soul. What we pursue I know they've asked this. I think Mr. Henning has had some conversations with some students at the university. And he said to the student, he says, well, you know, how much time did you take to decide, you know, what your career was going to be and where you're going to school? And this particular person said, man, I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about what school I was going to go to. And in fact, it took a number of months to make this very important decision. And then Mr. Henning says to him, well, what about the future of your soul? How much time have you ever given to that pursuit? And obviously, in this particular case, this person had given no pursuit, little time, no thought about the future of their soul. So many things in life tell us about what's important. So many things in life tell us the importance that we place upon our soul. Where we spend our time, where we spend our money, what we are willing to bear, all reflects on the value that we place upon our soul. Today, as we are here today, isn't it an amazing thing? As we think about the fact that the physical is temporary, and that we just live in this body, and that this body is going to die, but our soul is going to go somewhere forever. 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that if our earthly house, that's our body, of this tabernacle or this tent were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is 2 Corinthians 5:1. And so I wonder today, as you recognize, do you recognize that your body is just a tent? And you know, that's a pretty good picture of the fact that it's not that, it is important, but it's temporary. It's called a tent. It's called, the real you lives in this body. Someday the real you is going to leave this body. Now, where's the real you going to go? That's the question of life. Where is the real you going to go? Will it be eternity with God? Or will it be eternity in hell, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not? That soul of ours will someday stand before God. And we as a Christian, all of a sudden our whole life will come to a good, to a right analysis. If we have placed the right value on the spiritual, on the soul. How sad that there will be many Christians, when that day comes, they will say, I wasted my life on things that didn't count. I wasted my life on things that didn't count. life can, in a moment of time, can get a right, get an amazing perspective. When it boils down to the fact that we are a living soul, and there is a living God that we will someday face. What is valuable to you today? It's shown by what we do with our time. It's shown by what we do with our talents. It's shown by what we do with our treasures. It shows by what is valuable to our heart and our soul. So many things. What is the value of your soul today? We know it's valuable before God because He sent His only Son to rescue you and I from hell. But the fact is, many times we do not place that same value on our soul as God does. Today, where will your soul spend eternity? Today, what is the most important thing to your life? Is it your soul, or is it the things of this world? Let's pray. Lord, as we think about this very issue today, Lord, a room full of souls. Lord, a room in which every single person, Lord, our soul will live on forever. The real you, the real me and them, Lord, will live. And I pray tonight, Lord, this morning, that we would recognize what's valuable. What's valuable? I pray that we be corrected by those pursuits that cause us to lose the focus of our soul and our eternity and our spiritual need and the purpose of our life. And Lord, I pray that in your mercy, those who have a whole life ahead of them will take the opportunity to decide to put their soul first, to put God first, to put the Lord Jesus Christ first. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you have not put your soul first. Now, in some sense of the word, obviously, you have put your soul in some place of importance, otherwise you would not be here today. But in one sense of the word, you sense that there's this battle for your life. There's all these things pulling on you to put this world, material things, temporal things, the pleasures of life, the crowd approval, put that in front of God, put it in front of your soul. And perhaps even you're here today and you have not taken care of your eternity. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, this is certainly a time to take care of that before God. A time to reflect, a time to decide what will be more important. What will be the most important thing in life? What is the most important thing in life? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Perhaps you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I recognize there's an eternity. And I'm not sure where I'm going. And I'm concerned about my soul and its future. And I sense a stirring of God in my heart, a need in my heart. And I would like a prayer today as I think of my future and where my soul will be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, please pray for me. My soul is not ready for eternity. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? I just lift up your hand. I might pray for you. I'm not ready. My soul's not ready. I've not gotten that taken care of yet. Perhaps you're here today as a Christian, and the Lord is speaking to your heart about seeking first the kingdom of God. Maybe you've gotten off the path. Maybe other things have distracted you. Maybe it's shown by the fact that have many other things that are interfering with your spiritual life and being in the Lord's house and being in the Word of God and serving Him. And you say, today the Lord has spoken to my heart that I need to put my soul and God first in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone, guys, may that led you in that decision this morning? You could just lift up your hand. Praise the Lord for that. Others? Okay. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Others as well. God is speaking to my heart that I need to put God first. Put my soul above other things that are trying to draw it away. God has spoken to my heart about putting God first in my life today. Anyone else? You might raise your hand. That's your decision today. Lord, we thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you, Lord, that in your mercy, that you love us, you care for us, that you would even speak to our hearts through the Word of God and prick our souls even in whatever area it is, that, Lord, we would not let anything take away our heart, but that, Lord, you would be first. And so bless these important decisions, I pray. And for those that are here that, Lord, need to take care of their soul's eternity, I pray that, Lord, this would be a stirring, a beginning, a conviction in their life of this very most important issue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.